the town's Planning and Zoning Commission. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Secretary, could you please do the roll call?
Okie dokie. For today, Commissioner Desjardins is here. Commissioner DeShano?
Here.
Commissioner Estelle? Absent. Okay. Commissioner Kobelik?
Here.
Commissioner Longton's not here. Commissioner Pike, yeah, he's here. Commissioner Poole?
Present.
You're here. Commissioner Saragusa?
Here.
Yeah, he's here. And Chairperson Lundy, she's here. So we got 7 present, 2 absent.
Thank you. Are there any additions or changes to the agenda?
I got a couple. 9B1, a motion, no additional marijuana stores are allowed in Montville. Addition 2, 9B2, motion, no marijuana manufacturing allowed in Montville. And 9D, a discussion on what lease lines allow.
A discussion on what?
What lease lines allow.
Okay. All right, so how about 9C is commission discussion of draft regulations. Would that be sufficient?
Well, I want to make the motions. I mean, there's no sense writing regulations if we don't want it in Montville. It's a waste of time.
Okay.
So I put them motions in front of that so we don't have to discuss it if it so happens the community don't want it or the committee don't want it.
May I comment?
Yes, yes.
I think that under commission discussion of draft regulations, you can make any motions you want under 9C.
Well, why can't we put them on the agenda and then they're there?
Well, it's on the agenda.
Of draft regulations.
Right.
That is not a discussion on whether we should have things in the town.
Well, discussion can include a motion.
All right, so let's put something in between B and C.
Yeah, that's that two items I mentioned.
Do you want to do C first? And then do C, put it in between C and D?
To Commissioner Saragusa's point.
I see. Okay.
If we're not going to have them, then.
So how are we going to word these on there? So it's A, B, why don't we make it the, make it C.1, C.2, and amend C to be C.3. Does that work for you? For a matter of just to keep.
Yeah, I don't care. That's fine.
So we're going to have C.1, C2, and C3. So C3 is what's already on there as C. So C1 would be a motion to, what was the motion again? Could you repeat that?
Oh,
motion?
Yeah. No additional marijuana stores are allowed in Montville.
Okay. No additional marijuana, cannabis establishments, adult use in Montville, or any. No additional cannabis establishments in Montville. Okay, and
that would also include manufacturing.
Well the second motion was no marijuana manufacturing would be allowed in the town of Montville.
So C2 would be motion to for no additional, no or none, we don't have any right now, no cannabis manufacturing.
Is that the right word we want to use, manufacturing?
Is it manufacturing or cultivating?
It's cultivating. It's both cultivating and manufacturing.
Yeah, because that's what they're using.
Both?
Okay.
So manufacturing, cultivating.
Yep.
Cultivating or manufacturing.
Okay.
Does that work?
Does that work for you?
Yep.
Quick. All right, so that will be after item 9B.
Okay.
So 9B, and then you have C1, C2, and C3, and now we can have that clear for the record. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
Now, do you have to make a motion to add those? Did you already?
We did not yet.
Okay.
I make a motion that the items discussed C be added to our agenda. That would be items 9, C1, and C2.
And C3.
And continue on with C3.
I'll second that motion.
Okay. Any discussion?
Well, that's a good idea.
All those in favor?
Add to the agenda.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
And did we add the discussion on what lease lines allow?
Yeah, why don't we do that under, why don't we make that, new business, I guess it would be then.
E. Okay.
Discussion of lot line, lease line, what?
Lot line.
No, he said lease line.
Lease line, you said, right, Tony?
Yeah. What about lease line?
Lease line. Not lease line. Lease line.
And that was just a discussion, Tony?
Yeah.
Okay, so discussion of lease line requirements. Does that work for you?
Sure.
Okay, so you have to make a motion.
Okay, we'll find out what that is about.
Okay, is there a motion to add that as item 9E?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. It's been added as 9E. Any other additions or changes to the agenda? Okay. We'll move on to the approval of the minutes.
So moved.
I'll second that.
This is for the April 25th meeting. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining?
My feeling is that I believe that having regulations in for that industry, but yet on the other hand, you have the monetary gain that you get from the sale, the percentage, but yet you're also having programs to help people get through different situations. I just feel it's hopefully that that area down there would maybe a different industry would come in and see the value in it.
Thank you. We'll continue that discussion under item 9C. Thanks.
So this is the motion to add lease line discussion, correct?
Nope, we already did that.
Oh, yeah. We already did that.
Oh, okay.
We just approved the minutes.
Okay.
Now I'm going to ask for remarks from the public for items not related to things on the agenda. Any comments from the public? Okay, moving right along. The first item tonight under public hearings and applications is public hearing 23-SP1 for 486 Fitchell Road, parcel ID 047-051-000 in Uncasville, Connecticut. The applicant owner is N. Silverbrook Holdings, LLC. The agent is attorney Harry Heller for the expansion of the existing stable. This application was submitted on May 31st, 2023 and received June 27th, 2023, and the public hearing was scheduled for this evening. And it must be closed by July 31st, 2023. So at this time, I would like to open the public hearing.
No, you don't need a motion to open the hearing, and if I may.
Sure.
The first thing we need to do is read the exhibit list into the record.
Mm-hmm.
This is for application SP1, 486 Fitchell Road, Uncasville, Connecticut. Applicant owner N. Silverbrook Holdings, LLC, 486 Fitchell Road, parcel ID 047-051-000, Uncasville, Connecticut. Proposed action is expansion to existing barn stables for horse boarding stables and associated storage together with a bathroom and office. Public hearing date is today. The exhibits are as follows. Number one, application and plans titled 486 Fitchell Road, Uncasville Boundary Survey dated April 27, 2021. That was prepared by Lion CT Inc. And that was prepared as a plan. second one is number two, an Uncas Health comment letter dated June 6, 2023. Exhibit three is Uncas Health comment letter dated June 13, 2023, and that was revised from June 26. Number four, planner comments dated June 2, received June 14. Number five, legal ad to be published in the London Day on June 16th and 23rd, 2023. Legal ad to be published on the town website on June 15th, 2023. Item seven, correspondence from Attorney Heller dated June 15th in response to preliminary staff report. Planner staff report number one. Site plan prepared for number eight. Site plan prepared for N. Silverbrook Holdings, 46 Mitchell Road, Uncasville, Connecticut, dated 5/25/23. Underlying mapping prepared by Langdon Inc., Connecticut Inc., and site plan elements added by Heller, Heller, McCoy. Number nine, building department comments dated June 20th, 2023. Exhibit 10, Uncas Health comment letter dated June 21st, 2023. And planner comments dated June 27th, 2023. I'm going to go over my staff report quickly as Attorney Heller is here representing the applicant, and he will provide you with a detailed report on the application. Just to let you know, this public hearing was advertised as in accordance with Connecticut General Statute on June 16th and June 23rd, 2023, so that legal requirement has been met. The applicant was referred out to the application was referred to Uncas Health District, the Building Department, and the Fire Marshal. Uncas Health District does have comments dated 6/29/23, which I'm sure Attorney Heller will address his report, his presentation, but I will certainly do it after as well if needed. Building Department returned comments dated 6/20 that said, and Fire Marshal did not respond. So one thing that's a little different about this is the applicant has asked for waivers of site plan ingredients. Section 17.5, site plan's determination of applicability, allows an applicant to request that they be waived, that the full site plan be waived, because the ingredients listed in that section are not necessary for the commission to approve the application. In other words, what was submitted the applicant feels is sufficient for that application. I do have a recommendation. To revise all the comments in my staff report were addressed. So I'm going to, if it's okay with you, I'm going to let Attorney Heller take over.
Good evening. Director Harry Heller, 736 Route 32 in Uncasville, representing the applicant, North Silverbrook Farms, LLC. North Silverbrook Farms is a limited liability company whose two members are Lynn Nelson and Eric Nelson, father and son. The Nelson family has owned and farmed this property for well over 100 years. This was the last working dairy farm in the town of Monmouth. And we only have two farms that are still working in the town, and neither are dairy farms. We have no dairy farms in town anymore. The Nelson Farm and the Roble Farm, both on Fairchild Road, are the only farms we have in town. All of the farm buildings there are original farm buildings from the dairy operation. This proposal is to convert one of the barns to use for boarding of horses, and the site plan shows we're proposing about a 2,600 square foot addition to that barn in order to accommodate the boarding of horses and putting a small office and a bathroom in the barn. There's also a riding rink on the property. If you drive by this on Fitchell Road, you can see the riding rink. It's just to the east of Fitchell Road. And we're proposing a gravel parking area where people who are boarding their horses can pull in and park while they're taking care of the area. Oddly enough, this is an agricultural use, but it is a special permit use.
under your regulations. So really what we have here is a use that existed prior to the farming stable use of the property. So it's non-conforming, legally non-conforming in one sense, but we're expanding that use by increasing the size of the stable, so we fall within the special permit parameters of your regulations. When you compare the totality of the application on the impact of the neighborhood, you're reducing the operation which has historically been conducted there from 100 to 150 dairy cows to about 20 horses. So it's actually a reduction in the historic use of the property and its impact on the neighborhood. This particular parcel, that's the application parcel, is 128 acres. The Nelson Farm is also located on the westerly side of Mitchell Road, so in totality it's about 209 acres that constitute the farm. We received comments from the Uncas Health District. The property was improved with a new septic system in January of this year. The dwelling house, which was the former Nelson residence on the property, is a two-bedroom dwelling house, and a septic system was put in with a 2,000-gallon tank, so it's grossly oversized for the house there. And we are proposing to interconnect the bathroom from the barn with the bathroom from the dwelling house into that septic system. That requires a waiver from the Department of Public Health. It cannot be approved by the Uncas Health District. We've done this many times in the past. Whenever you have two buildings that are interconnecting to the same septic system, it requires a waiver. So one of the conditions of approval, if the commission approves the application, would be that it be subject to obtaining that waiver from the Department of Public Health. And that's the application. It's a very low-intensity use, but it is a special permit use under your regulations. And I'll be glad to address any questions.
Thank you, Attorney Heller. Does anybody have any questions?
I do. So what's in front of me says a 190 by 25 addition. That's 4,750 square feet. I'm missing something here. Says 190 by 25 addition.
Yeah, that's the addition to it.
Yeah, the addition actually narrows down, though, if you look at the site plan.
I do, but my concern is the actual numbers, Attorney Heller, is 4,750. And you're talking about 20-something.
Yeah, 2,650 is what's on the site plan.
Right, but that's not what this says. Right there. In addition.
Let's correct that.
I think it needs to be corrected.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's right here.
Let's call it a 2,650 square foot addition.
The proposal section. Because there, states a 190 by 25, which would be 4,750.
See here?
Yeah.
And that's not what we're doing here.
2,650.
Yeah. We're actually doing 2,650.
Yeah, that's the barn right there.
But over here.
In the memo for the record, that's where it's stated.
It was in the application. The application was incorrect.
All right.
It's 2,650.
So the application is correct. It's just the memo has. Any other questions for Attorney Heller? I have one. Other than the septic waiver, are there any other waivers being requested?
No. Well, other than the, we've requested a waiver of a number of your site plan ingredients. Because this is essentially an agricultural application, and you know, things like lighting and signage and stuff like that, you just don't need to evaluate this application. So we've asked for a waiver of those site planning grades.
Yes. Who's better for him when I was a kid?
Yes.
Chairman Lundy, so section 17.5 says the commission may determine that one or more of the site plan ingredients requirements of section 17.4 is not necessary or required to reach a conclusion on the application.
determination that the building must be discussed in writing by the applicant, which they have done by requesting the waiver of all of the sections. As Attorney Heller said, this is an existing barn,
yeah,
so there's no site work. We're just adding boards, porch board tables.
Yep.
So thus, as Attorney Heller said, the special permit kicks in accordance with Section 7, which says tables are special permit uses in the RA zone.
Any other questions for Attorney Heller? Commissioner Poole?
Are there horses being boarded there now?
Yes.
And they've been there for a while?
Yeah.
Yeah, they've been quite,
boarded.
John,
I want to tell you something. Connor Nelson's daughter, who lives right across the street in part of the farm, been having horses for a long time.
They're private owned.
They're like private owned
horses.
They're
her horses. They're the farm's horses.
Yeah.
Is this now for commercial
yes,
use?
Yes.
This,
no.
This is boarding horses.
So no. This is a commercial use yeah. as opposed to a.
No, no, it's not considered agricultural because.
Right, but it's not residential.
Yeah, not residential.
Right. It's an interesting discussion because the dairy farm is certainly a commercial use, but it's
yes.
agricultural.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's being abandoned.
No. What it is
well, there's
is
no cows. It's
no,
all
no.
Can
and
we just
all
have one, excuse me.
Okay.
One person speaking at a time, please.
That place has been all agriculture all this time. And what they're doing, instead of having cows, they're having horses. That's the only thing big change there. And also those fields, sometimes they're rented to McLurbers, sometimes for hay, sometimes for cattle to come there to graze, but it's always been agriculture.
Thank you.
And just to answer Mr. Poole's question, even though they have not, it's been 15 years since they sold their herd, they board cows
yeah.
in the summer who graze on the field. Mm. So that's why I'm saying they're not.
Maintain that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're not abandoning that use.
Yeah. For your heifers.
Yes.
The addition expands the use.
Yeah.
I mean, so there'll be a sign there now?
It has been there forever.
I think the signs are there already.
No, it's been there forever. Every time you drive by it, since I was a kid, there's signs. Ding, ding, you know, but it doesn't say boarding horses.
Any other questions for Attorney Heller? Okay, thank you very much.
They even got a website.
All right, so at this time, I will...
One comment,
sure.
Just because it came out of there. You have a suggested motion to approve.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to making any motion to approve, you have to make a motion to grant the waiver. Because if you don't grant the waiver, then the plan doesn't comply with the zoning regulations. So there's two motions I have to make. The first one is granting the waivers. I put a suggested motion in there, and I've read you
okay,
that section
it.
Of the regulations into the record. The second set, I have suggested motion. One of the conditions that I recommended was the applicant shall meet all requirements of the Montclair Building Department, Office of Fire Marshal, and Goose Health District, and I'd like to add Department of Public Health to that. After Goose Health District. Typically what happens is Goose Health District will send us a memo saying, hey, they got the waiver from Department of Public Health, we're good. So that's the only thing I would like to add to that suggested motion in number one.
Would anyone like to make that motion?
Well, I'll make that motion.
Just wait a second. What is the new language in there now that we've gone from 190 by 25 in your motion? Because your motion...
Well, approval for a 190 by 25 addition to existing barn. I didn't put square footage on there. So isn't it a 190 by 25
addition? Yeah, 190.
No, it's narrows down.
So that's the problem. That's the whole
right,
problem
so
with
let's,
it.
So let's
so many square foot.
650
square foot
addition. 120.
So,
all
right. So,
yes.
Those are the two changes.
What's all
the 260?
2,650, John. Square foot.
50, okay. 1,250 square feet, right?
2,650.
Would anyone like to make the motion granting the waivers?
I'll make a motion.
Wait, I got a question.
Yes.
We haven't closed the public hearing, so
correct.
We can't make any motions.
Thank you.
Public hearing.
Robert's rules, very good.
I knew we'd get another one in there.
Common sense.
Actually,
you have to do a thing. If there any else, we're going to do it all and then three times, and then they'll do it.
I don't know how we're going
to
do this.
You do have to reach out for public comments.
Yes, okay. At this time, we'll open up for public comment. Would anyone like to speak in favor of the application? Would anyone like to speak against the application? Are there any general questions? Again, anyone in favor? Would anyone like to comment against? Okay, at this time, we will close the public hearing.
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Okay. All right, so at this time, we will discuss and decide on the same application. At this time, would anyone like to make a motion to grant the waivers as described in the staff memo?
I do make a motion to grant the applicant's waiver request for waivers of multiple elements as the site plan ingredients contained in sections 17.4.4, 17.4.11 to 17.4.18, also 17.4.20, and 17.4.24 of the Montville zoning regulations in accordance with ZR section 17.5, site plans determination of applicability.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, so that was Commissioner Poole with the first and Commissioner Desjardins with the second. Any discussion?
Weren't we adding some other words in there? I thought Liz mentioned some other words for that motion.
This is the waiver.
That's for the waiver.
I know what it says. I thought you said you wanted to stick some other words in there with it.
No, the next motion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's do a roll call vote, please.
Okay, for the waiver. Commissioner Jardins is for the waiver. Commissioner Deschano?
Favor.
Still not here. Okay. Commissioner Koblick?
In favor.
He's not here. Lockton's not here. Commissioner Pike?
In favor.
Commissioner Poole?
In favor.
Commissioner Saragusa?
Favor.
And Commissioner Lundy?
In favor.
Okay, everybody's in favor.
The motion passes. At this time, would anyone like to make a motion for the approval of the application with the amendments that were entered into the record by Liz?
This is where you're going to make a change.
If you'd like, I can read it.
That would be fantastic. Thank you.
I know where they are.
Okay, that's perfect.
So the following motion as follows. I make a motion to approve application number 23SB1, 46 Mitchell Road, parcel ID 047-451-000, Huntsville, Connecticut, applicant owner and Silverberg Holdings, LLC for special permanent approval for a 2,650 square feet addition to an existing barn for expansion of existing stables and associated storage together in the bathroom and office, and that the application supporting documents and its plans entitled Boundary Survey Limited Topo Survey 46 Fitchill Road, Huntsville, Connecticut, prepared by Langman, Connecticut, Inc., dated April 27, 2021, and a site plan prepared for N. Silverberg Holdings, prepared by Heller and McCoy, dated 5/25/23, comply with all the applicable sections of the Montville zoning regulations with the following conditions. Applicant shall meet all the requirements of the Montville Building Department, Office of Fire Marshal, Lucas Health District, and the State of Connecticut Department of Public Health for required permitting and inspections prior to the start of work. An approved zoning permit is required prior to the start of work. The ZEO must be contacted. The pre-construction meeting shall be held at least 24 hours prior to the start of work, and after work has commenced, any substantive changes to the approved site plan require review and approval by the Land Use Director and Board of Connecticut.
Thank
what
you.
About the pub? What were you going to add to it?
I added the Department of Public Health. I added the State of Connecticut Department of Public Health, and I changed the dimensions to 2650 square feet.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, so that's Commissioner Siragusa and Commissioner Pike. Any discussion?
Or questions?
No, we got one question. What are they doing way out in the back of that same farm?
That's a solar array. I put that in my staff report. The Connecticut Siting Council gave them a permit, and
We have no jurisdiction over it because of the size of the solar array, and the siting council approved a solar array out in the back.
Where's that located on the farm?
I don't have jurisdiction on...
Certain sizes are the jurisdiction of the Connecticut Siting Council. Certain sizes are the jurisdiction of the town. That's why you have a landfill solar application for you. It doesn't need the size to be approved by the Siting Council.
Huh.
We don't have, you know, for some reason, when it went to the Siting Council, I suppose the Wetlands Commission could have commented because there was a wetlands crossing, but they did not. And once the Siting Council approved it, we have no say, we have no jurisdiction. And even if the local Wetlands Commission said, well, we want you to get a permit from us, the Siting Council would say, no, it's not necessary. So we did, roughly, we vetted that, this project. So that's what it is.
Any other discussion? Okay, let's do a roll call vote, please.
Okay. Commissioner Desjardins is in favor. Commissioner Shano?
Favor.
Estelle's not here. Commissioner Koblick?
Favor.
Lockton not here. Commissioner Pike?
Favor.
Commissioner Poole?
Favor.
Commissioner Saragusa?
Favor.
And Commissioner Lundy?
In favor.
We're all in favor.
Okay, motion passes. Thank you very much.
Oh boy.
Okay, we will move on to old business. Item 8A is 23 Site 5. This is 2040 Route 32, parcel ID 103/001/01A in Uncasville, Connecticut. The applicant owner is Hassan Hussein LLC for commercial development of proposed gasoline or convenience store facility and associated site improvements. The application was submitted April 21st, 2023. Date of receipt was April 25th, 2023, and a decision is required by June 29th, 2023. This was postponed from the last meeting. However, there is another request to postpone to the next meeting on July 25th, and an extension has been granted. So at this time, I will entertain a motion to postpone to the next meeting.
So move.
I'll second that.
Okay. Commissioner Saragusa, Commissioner Desjardins. Thank you. Mm. Any discussion?
Is that a place that's near Stop and Shop around that area?
Yeah.
Okay. I think I know where that is. Okay. No problem.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? Okay, motion passes, and the application has been postponed until our July meeting. Under new business, we've got 23 Site 7, which is 69 Fitch Hill Road, parcel ID 062-036-000 in Uncasville, Connecticut. The applicant owner is Andrew Petrowski for site development with multiple warehouse office spaces. This was submitted June 5th, 2023, and received June 27th. A decision is required by August 30th, 2023. And again, there has been a request to postpone until our July meeting. So I will entertain a motion to postpone.
So move.
Second.
Commissioner Saragusa and Commissioner Pike. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? Okay, motion passes. This has also been postponed to our July meeting. Item 9B is 23 Site 8, which is 669 Route 163. The parcel ID is 038-056-000 in Oakdale, Connecticut. The owner is the Town of Montville. The applicant is BCP Montville LF LLC for the proposed site development of a 600 kilowatt AC ground-mounted solar array. This was submitted June 7th, 2023, and received June 27th. A decision is required by August 30th. And again, there has been a request to postpone until the July meeting.
So moved.
I'll second that.
Commissioner Saragusa and Desjardins. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? Okay, this application has also been postponed to our July meeting. Now we will add in item 9C.1, which Commissioner Siragusa, would you like to make your motion at this time?
I make a motion that no additional marijuana stores are allowed in Montville.
Is that forever?
What's the reason behind that?
Because there has to be a second.
We need a second on the motion, fellas.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll second that motion. So what's the reason behind that?
What?
Now we can have discussion.
Thank you.
Okay, what's the reason behind that?
Because I think one is enough, and plus we have to decide on what we want to do for the town, if it's good or bad. And I think it's bad to add additional ones.
So in the interest...
And we shouldn't do the regulations unless we vote to do it or not to do it.
So in the interest of just time and keeping things simple, Commissioner Siragusa has made his motion. He's explained himself. I will give everyone the opportunity to ask a question or have discussion on this point, and then I'll come back for a second time to allow everyone to comment, and then we will vote. Is that one clear?
Sure.
So Commissioner Siragusa has made his motion. Is there anything that you'd like to add?
Oh, well, it's up to the committee to decide what they want to do, that's all.
Okay. Commissioner Pike, do you have any questions or comments at this time?
Yeah, so I'm in favor of not having any other retail stores in Montville. We are surrounded by retail stores in Norwich. Norwich is going to have a plethora of them. Montville already has multiple of everything. We don't seem to expand much. I go by the store currently. I'm going to call it the store, dispensary. Seems like it's fairly busy. I just think it's something unnecessary for Montville. We have a pharmaceutical and a recreational, and I think that's one's enough. That's what I think.
Okay. Thank you. Commissioner Desjardins, any comments?
Well, I put it this way. If they can open up another store, for recreational, it'll take off for that thing. Right now, they have a monopoly on it. And just to tie our hands, says, well, we don't want it, period, because I like it. I think it's for the birds. No. And also, how I see it too, is that, we're going to cut everything out. No manufacturing, no anything that has to do with it. We don't want it in the town. I'm totally against that.
So you're against?
I'm against that. That regulation altogether. I think that ties our hands and everything else. I mean, you're just trying it. So I said, well, we don't have to deal with it, so we're just going to be against it. I'm not for it.
May I say something?
Sure.
Yes.
John, just for clarity, this is specifically on retail sales, not manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the question being asked right now.
Okay.
So you're against retail sales?
Retail sales?
More retail sales.
Okay. No, what I mean is if they're going to have more retail sales, I'm fine and dandy with that. You know what I mean? It's a business. Just say, hey, we don't want it just because you're afraid of the business because you don't know nothing about it. That's it. Because that's the big thing is that people have the fear of the unknown. So let's say we're not going to have it because I know nothing about it because I hear all this hearsay. It's, for me, it's a bunch of bull.
Thank you for clarifying. I appreciate that. Commissioner Poole, any comments, questions?
Is there any input from the Economic Development Group? This regulation would prevent this kind of business in town, but does the Economic Development Council say we need more development in town?
Do you have any insight?
Everybody says that.
I can answer that because I staff the Economic Development Commission. I wouldn't bring something to them until such time as you do the regulations. And I'm going to let the rest of the commissioners speak, but I have something very important to say about this motion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The legality of it.
We'll give you an opportunity. Thank you.
Thanks. Before you go for round two.
Sure.
There is another issue with that specific phrasing, is I thought our attorney said you should do these things in 18 months or 36 months or some specific period, not forever and a day.
But well, that's the moratorium.
Yeah, moratorium.
Right now there is a moratorium in place. There can be no cannabis establishment at all during the moratorium period.
Yeah.
That's the time that you have these discussions and or pass regulations one way or the other. But that's what he was discussing in the moratorium. That's where the moratorium is in place. You can't have it right now.
Yes, yeah. For 6 months, right?
It was for 6 months.
Yeah.
Until November.
I'm in favor of having establishments in town, businesses, if they can make it work, but they have to be very closely monitored and policed by town. But I would vote for this just to get rid of it off the table.
Mr. Kobolek, any questions or comments?
You understand.
Well, I believe that we shouldn't discriminate against businesses, whether they, you know, whatever type of business it is. There's already one in town. There's multiple package stores that serve alcohol up and down this four, up and down the 32 strip, 32 quarter, whatever you want to call it. So, it's a business. If it's going to generate tax revenue and somebody wants to open up a shop here, how can we say no? When there's, you know, one already here, there's going to be one. Well, there's one opening up in Norwich, right on 82, next to Popeye's Chicken and Bank of America. I'm sure New London's going to open one up soon, if not already. I know there's a delivery service out there now. Through Green Coach Delivery, I guess it's called. Jack Cochran, the former Norwich, New London football coach, is spearheading that. So, I mean, why? How can we say no to potential tax revenue? So, you know, that's my opinion.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Commissioner Ticino.
Yeah, I just, you know, my thought has always been to the point that everybody's saying, for the people that medically need it, they have been fortunate enough to get it in Montville. And they will continue to get it in Montville at the one that we have. As far as our hope on what we could draw to this town for maybe the limited space that we have, I think that would be something that would be nice. To receive 3% on the sales as retail and be able to use it for a limited three or four things, with one of them being helping incarcerated people get out to back, and then social services and youth services, which we already have money going towards. So if it's a financial decision to agree to have something more, I don't see where that makes sense when you're having to use that money for different programs to help people. I think I'm glad that medically people have the opportunity to get it in town. Anybody else, if they want it recreationally, they'll have plenty of places to go. With the population of less than 20,000 already having one, we're not obligated to have any more. And that's my feeling.
Thank you. Liz.
Okay. So one of the reasons that I wanted this to be just included in item C is if this commission makes a motion that there should be no additional cannabis establishments in Montville, you are making a text regulation without a public hearing.
Yes.
Please hear me out. It's completely not legal. You could make a motion to direct staff to put together a regulation prohibiting cannabis establishments, but it would have to be an application, the text amendment, and meet all of the statutory requirements of, you can't just vote. If you choose to do so, you're not, this is, it's illegal. It's
it can't be done. It doesn't comply with the Connecticut general statute, same as with the motion regarding cannabis manufacturing. Now, some of the questions that you've asked tonight, I could have discussed them, okay? And I still can. Like, there's no more limit anymore. You know, $20,000 limit.
No.
I mean,
no.
20,000 population.
Oh, there and isn't. When did that go?
They removed it last year. So now.
Okay. Well, we were told that at one time. I think there was. Yes, you had said that if you were a town that was less than.
I was going to discuss that when we discussed the regulations tonight. So just to let you know, there is no limit anymore. It used to be one per 20,000 population retail, medical or hybrid. It is no longer the case. There can be as many cannabis establishments in Montville as a person wants there to be. However, I had a long discussion with the botanist folks, as has Meredith. Right now, the market is so saturated that retail cannabis establishments are going out of business. Because what's happened is, when they were the hybrid ones, hey, it's the only place in town. It's not the only place in town anymore. And some of these, we were told that the market is saturated now, and some of these retail establishments are hurting for the adult use cannabis. Medical is medical. It's always been medical. It's always been here in Montville. So that's something to also consider. But that being said, there's no limit on the number. I continually check the Department of Consumer Protection licensing database to see if anybody else has applied, and they have not. Mm-hmm. Not only that, and you know, this can go towards C2, there's no manufacturers, no producers, no cultivators that have applied either. One thing I did check with is the cultivators, and I'm still waiting for an answer from our tax assessor. But sometimes manufacturing equipment is not taxable. And I've asked the assessor to put together a report for me on whether a cultivator and all of its equipment and all of its inventory, how that would be taxed and provide revenue to the town. A cultivator might be something that might be a tax generator. And cultivating facilities are very, very highly regulated by the state of Connecticut. In my draft regulations, I've only proposed them in the industrial or light industrial zone. And I didn't in this, but I would even suggest that they only be allowed by special use permit. So then you can look at each site individually, and you have some discretion in the special use permit regarding approval of that establishment. But basically what I'm telling you right now is I'm recommending you do not pass this motion.
So
you can amend it to ask me to do whatever you want, but we have to do a formal application.
Okay, thank you.
And that has to be a public hearing.
Right, yeah. Right. Well, that's part of the formal application. You can't just vote.
Right. Mm. So, commissioners, I think we should use this opportunity to kind of get an idea of whether we want to continue to discuss the regulations, the draft regulations as proposed, or if we would like to direct staff to write a regulation eliminating or restricting retail establishments.
And then I just add one more thing. I mean, if you look at the draft regulations, you can certainly comment as to what you don't like and what you would like me to change. Mm-hmm. So these are the same regulations you've had since February.
So I would say, Commissioner Siragusa, if you are open to it, amend it. If you would amend your motion to direct staff.
Or not have it at all. That's what you would ask, correct?
No,
we can't do that.
Okay.
Right. You direct staff to draft regulations prohibiting cannabis establishments. Retail establishments, if you want them.
And then we would go down the proper path with a public hearing and all of that.
Correct. It would be a text amendment application. It would have a public hearing. It would be properly noticed, and you could do it that way.
Does that work for you, Commissioner?
Well, I got a question.
Sure.
The towns that have rejected this stuff.
Yes.
They've had public hearings, and they've done all this regulation stuff?
After the moratorium, if they prohibit it, they absolutely have.
They have done it.
Submitted text amendment. You can't just arbitrarily say,
We don't want it.
Okay. Yes, they absolutely have. I'm sure Attorney Heller, who has been, if you allow him to speak, he's been to many towns where this has been done.
Would you mind if I ask him to sort of supplement my comments?
Sure.
My opinion, and we discussed this when recreational use was first authorized in town or in the state.
Yes.
Is a retail use, the way your regulations are drafted right now, before you put the moratorium in place, in my opinion, anyone could come before you with an application for a retail sale of marijuana, and you had to evaluate that based on the criteria in your regulations because it was a permitted use. If you want to prohibit it, the prohibition itself is a regulation. And that has to go through the process that Liz enunciated to you. You have to have a draft regulation. And many, many towns have enumerated prohibited uses in their regulations. And it goes far beyond the scope of marijuana. There's a variety of things, depending on which town you're in. But you have to adopt that as a regulation using all of the due process requirements for the application, notice to the public hearing.
Thank you, Attorney Heller. I appreciate the explanation.
I got no problem directing staff to follow the proper procedure to outlaw it.
Okay, so we're going to amend your initial.
Please do.
Okay.
The motion would have to be to direct me to do something. So you're going to amend your motion to direct
staff.
The Land Use Department staff to do what?
To draft regulations prohibiting establishments.
Okay, so that's what the, so you're going to,
Do we need to be specific in the language, retail establishments?
No, because I will draft them and submit them as an application, and then you can review them, you can deliberate, you can change them, you can approve them, you can approve them with modifications. Right now, the motion would be to direct staff to draft regulations prohibiting retail cannabis establishments in the town.
It's fine.
And just to get back to the, do you want to do the motion and then I'll add something else?
No.
You have to amend the motion. Just say
no. I so amend.
Okay. You have a second?
Second.
Okay. There are some uses that you can't prohibit. You cannot prohibit delivery services. Okay, so that's something that, you know, I can get into with you when they're discussed, but I'm going to have to be very specific about specific things. I can't add in there that all cannabis establishments, because the statutes define delivery service as an establishment, a cannabis establishment.
So,
but you can't prohibit that.
Right. So once again, this is the first I'm hearing. The last I knew, and correct me if I'm wrong, the last I knew, it was said that if you currently had an establishment in your town now and you had a population of less than 20,000 people, there were towns, I believe that was the criteria, that you were able to say, we do not want any other additional. In other words, whether it was retail or whether it was manufactured. That's what I thought I heard.
Original state law said
okay.
One retail establishment, one hybrid establishment, one
oh, everything. Times. Okay, well.
One per 20,000. Okay,
which we.
If we already have one, which we do. We have
that's
a
correct.
Facility,
that's correct.
A retail facility. Right. The state wouldn't allow anyone to have another one here. The state lifted that restriction.
Oh.
Okay.
Since then.
Okay.
All right, so.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to put a pause on this. Thank you, Liz, for your input.
Thank you.
The motion has been amended to direct staff to draft regulations prohibiting any additional cannabis establishments.
Okay.
So, we're now on the second round of comments or questions.
Have you voted on the motion?
No.
Oh, you're on the second round. Okay, gotcha.
So I'm going to give everyone another opportunity for follow-up comments or questions. Commissioner Siragusa.
Good idea.
Commissioner Pike.
I'm fine with the amended motion.
Okay.
Commissioner Desjardins.
That's to read that... this is for cannabis retail places, right? That sell like recreational marijuana.
It's to direct staff to write regulations prohibiting retail cannabis
stuff. Not all.
Come on, they would exclude any. That would exclude. And I'll put something in there. Exclude existing facilities.
Excuse what?
Existing facilities.
Existing facility.
Commissioner Poole?
You alluded to something about delivery.
Yeah, so there's some uses that the statute don't allow you to prohibit. Delivery services, you can't prohibit. The statute's divided delivery service as a cannabis establishment.
Let me think about this.
What?
As you're speaking, I'm trying to think at the same time.
Okay, so because the statute defines a delivery service as a cannabis establishment, you can't prohibit that cannabis establishment. This motion is just to direct me to prohibit retail cannabis establishments.
Brick and mortar.
Right, brick and mortar, recreational, adult use cannabis establishments. That's the only thing this motion is about.
That's what this motion is about.
Correct.
Okay. We're going to get into cultivation, production, et cetera.
That's the next SC2. Okay. Which you'll have to amend that one to. You can make a new one on that.
All set, Commissioner Poole?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Commissioner Kobach?
No comment.
Commissioner Descheno?
Yeah, I'm in favor of it.
And I usually don't add my own opinion, but I will add it here. I think it would behoove us to take time to go through the regulations as proposed by Liz rather than just pull out saying no more establishments. I think it's a little short-sighted. To not consider all of the different angles and the benefits for the town. So that is my personal opinion. So at this time, we will take a vote.
Oh, boy, boy, boy.
And again, as a reminder, this is a motion to direct staff to draft regulations prohibiting additional cannabis establishments.
Retail
cannabis establishments. Thank you.
Commissioner Starts, I'm against the whole thing. Commissioner Shano?
Favor.
Commissioner Still not here. Commissioner Kobach?
Abstain.
Okay. Commissioner Longton not here. Commissioner Pike?
Favor.
Commissioner Poole?
In favor.
Commissioner Saragusa?
Favor.
Commissioner Lundy?
Against.
Yes, against.
Okay.
So two against, one abstained, and one, two, three, four in favor.
Okay. The motion passes.
Three.
Yes.
Three in favor, one abstained, two opposed.
Mr. Kobach abstained.
Four people were in favor.
Four people in favor. Commissioner Kobach abstained, and myself and Lundy is against.
Two opposed, one abstained, the rest.
So now we got to vote on the motion.
Sorry. Okay,
that was not a motion.
That was an amendment, I think. Or was that a new motion?
No, you voted on the amendment.
We have voted on the amendment.
Yes, we got to vote on the motion.
We just voted on the motion.
You made a motion in a second, and now you voted on the motion.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So now.
So now,
we'll
instead of amending it, why don't you just make a. This is my suggestion.
Yep.
Make a motion to direct staff to draft regulations prohibiting cannabis cultivator establishments. Cultivators and micro cultivators.
So moved.
Second.
Okay.
That's your motion.
Discussion, please. Commissioner Siragusa, is there anything else you'd like to add?
No.
Commissioner Pike?
So, is cultivation the same as manufacturing? I think Attorney Heller.
Yes.
Do we need to articulate cultivation?
I will do so when I write these regulations. If it's voted for me to write regulations prohibiting them, everything will be defined. But it's cultivators and micro-cultivators. That's how the statutes.
Okay, I just want to make sure because the language we talked about manufacturing earlier.
So we have a cultivator, we have a manufacturer, is to add or incorporate cannabis into other products. So that would be someone that
makes brownies.
Edibles, okay? cultivator is a person that is licensed to engage in cultivation, growing, and propagation of the cannabis plant at an establishment with not less than 15,000 square feet. A micro cultivator is the same thing at an establishment containing not less than 2,000 and not more than 10,000 square feet of grow space. So you have, again, and I haven't researched whether we can prohibit some of these others. Right now, you have a cultivator. These are the licensed growers. Okay? I haven't researched all the others yet. So certainly, you know, manufacturers to add or incorporate cannabis into other products, I'm not really sure what that entails, to be honest with you.
May we ask you to talk about the first
opinion? I think you should go right now and let me sort of research some of these other ones. If you want me to write regulations prohibiting cultivators and micro-cultivators, those are the two big ones.
Okay.
I would have to look at, like, delivery service. I could do a matrix for you telling you what those are and whether they can be prohibited. I don't know.
So basically what we would be doing is directing you to write regulations to prohibit whatever we can prohibit that falls outside of retail sales.
Right. How's that? Okay. All cannabis establishments uses that may be prohibited by law. How's that sound?
Yep.
Does that work?
Yep.
Okay. And that'll give me time to research all of this and bring you the regulations.
Yep.
Right.
Okay.
All right. So does anybody have any differing opinions or questions or concerns that we have not yet addressed?
Okay. To prohibit somebody to open up a facility, which is going to be totally indoors, to grow marijuana, I think it's ludicrous. Same thing with having somebody to open up a business totally indoors that manufacture like items like gummies. It's, to me, it's totally ludicrous. They're not going to be just manufacturing the stuff and throwing product outside willy-nilly to get business. I mean, they have to take those items and they have to sell it to a retailer, you know, as a wholesaler, and that's it there. I think it's totally ludicrous. You know, ridiculous.
Okay.
You know, that's it.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions? All right.
Yeah, he got questions right here.
Commissioner Siragusa, or Koblock, I'm sorry.
I'm not opposed to the having the facilities in town. What I am concerned about is the buildings themselves. I mean, what I envision based on what the criteria that I read that it has to meet, it's more or less a chicken coop. No doors, no windows, or one door, no windows, all steel building or whatever, or block building. Is there some way we can aesthetically improve?
Is the concern about the aesthetics, or is there another concern?
Basically, the aesthetics.
I probably supplement my comments on the grow facilities, but yes, they are indoor facilities. Attorney Heller, would you like to speak to that? Is that okay with you?
Sure.
Quickly?
Yes. I have a little bit of expertise in this because I wrote the regulations for the town of Colchester, so I know a little bit about these grow facilities. You know, ultimately, you have to make judgments that you feel are in the best interest of the town. But I can tell you, these are very, very sophisticated facilities with an awful lot of
security
control equipment to create a proper medium where they can grow the product as fast as they can. And the ratables for the town can be very significant.
The one?
The what? For the
time? Your assessed value. These buildings are very expensive. And the ones we were talking about in Colchester were in the 200,000 to 400,000 square foot range, so they were big buildings.
May I ask a question?
Sure.
That's a pretty high assessment then.
Millions,
right?
Millions and millions.
Interesting. Yes.
I think the one we were talking about
up there when we were writing the regulations was a 300,000, was it 300,000? 300, about a $50 million building.
Yeah, it's not going to be like Ashley Rothbrook growing some grass in the back of the woods.
And because of the nature of what they're doing, the security is very sophisticated.
They're very highly.
So it's in my opinion, I'm just the guy you asked to speak. But in my opinion, it's a totally different use from retail sales. It's a manufacturing facility, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it's a whole hydroponics.
And I think the impacts that you'll have to evaluate are different from what you would have to evaluate for a retail facility.
And certainly I could write regulations that are very, very, you know, have a lot of criteria for approval of these facilities as cultivators and micro-cultivators. I know the ones we have in here are pretty simple, but there's certainly a lot of regulations that you could write that would highly regulate that. You could have them by special permit, special use permits. You could impact on the neighborhood and whatnot. You have more, you can consider more things with a special permit. You know, plus, you know, whether, I don't know, to, you know, how big are these buildings, 200, 400,000 square feet?
The regulation that we wrote in Colchester, I believe, was a minimum of 200,000 square feet.
Yeah, I think sites in Montville are going to be pretty limited.
Okay, when you say 200,000 square feet, is that the smallest or the biggest?
That was the minimum.
Minimum. Okay, by how many feet by how many feet?
I don't remember.
Okay.
That. But it was on two floors.
So okay. That wasn't, okay, divide in half.
It wasn't a 200,000 square foot.
Footprint. Okay. So it's half that for footprint.
You know, the other thing is, too, there's some very large parcel, number 32, that might be conducive to that as well. I'm throwing that out there. I don't know. But again, they're very sophisticated, highly regulated buildings. And, I can do whatever you want.
Okay.
Well, you could get a copy of Colchester's regulations.
We have them already.
So you could just use them if you wanted to.
Right.
Yeah, and I think doing it as a special permit, if you decide to do it at all, is wise, because these things don't fit everywhere.
Mm.
And as Commissioner Kobolek said, you know, they're not the most attractive buildings in the world.
Yeah, you don't want it too close to the road and everything else people drive by. It's going to be out in the boonies.
But I think you do have places where they would be suitable in Montville. I think it would be a big bonus to the tax base of the town. And I think you have the ability to regulate them so they don't have adverse impacts in the right places.
Thank you.
I'd also like to add that the town of Waterford prohibited retail cannabis establishments, but they allow cultivators. They have some very large pieces of land that would be conducive to that type of facility. So they prohibited one, but they allowed the other. I can look up their regulations. Those were recently regulated.
All right, so we've heard all of the options. We could have regulations that are different than what are proposed currently. We could look at Colchester's, but as a reminder, this motion was for a straight across the board prohibition on cultivators
and
micro cultivators. So at that, this time we will vote strictly on that motion. Can we please do a roll call vote?
Okay, to be against it, I vote against the amendment you're having, that you're for being against. Mm-hmm. Okay, DeShano?
Favor.
It's still not here. Kobolek?
Opposed.
Okay, another one opposed. Looked in here. Pike?
Favor.
Poole?
I'm in favor of asking staff to develop regulations.
So you're in favor
that
of this?
Be opposed to the motion.
Oh.
Clear.
I got it wrong then.
Okay. So like that.
I apologize.
Okay.
The motion is to ask me to write regulations prohibiting the uses. So if you vote in favor, you're asking me to do that. If you vote opposed, you're asking me not to do that. And then in item C3, we can discuss, you can make another motion to have you write regulations. So right now it's just the motion you're voting on to write regulations to prohibit.
Yep.
Maybe you want to start over since.
Yep, let's start again.
Okay.
Before we start, does everybody understand what the motion is?
The motion is to prohibit, correct?
The motion is to direct staff to write regulations to prohibit across the board.
Across the board.
Cultivators and microcultivators.
Okay.
Okay. You want to write the regulation, go for it. I'm for.
No. You have to be opposed to the motion if you want me to write regulations.
Just write it the way you want.
So the motion is, do you want to prohibit it? If you want to prohibit it, you approve it. If you don't want to prohibit it, you oppose it. Okay? You good?
All right.
I'm getting the impression from your discussion you don't want to prohibit it.
Yeah, I don't want to prove it. You can manufacture.
Vote against the motion.
Okay. Oppose this motion. Okay. DeShano?
Favor.
Kobelik?
Opposed.
Lunt's not here. Pike? Commissioner Pike?
Okay, I'm the dolt in the room tonight.
Yes.
Okay, I'm a little confused here. I'm really sorry. Why don't we just amend it like we did the first one with recreational? I'm a little confused here.
No, this is the exact same motion as the recreational. You're just voting either if you would like me, if you don't want to prohibit it, if you want me to write regulations regarding cultivators, you oppose the motion. I promise.
Because there's another.
Well, no, because there's a lot of money.
We have C3, we can have another motion if you want. C2 is the motion to have me write regulations to prohibit it. Don't want me to do that right now.
Which will require a public hearing also.
Yeah, you'll have that.
Well,
okay, I just want to make sure we're clear on that.
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
So for all intents and purposes, this is a vote.
Are you in favor or opposed to the motion?
Favor.
Prohibit. So you want me to prohibit it. You want to prohibit it.
I want you to write regulations and have a public hearing on it. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
So prohibit.
Favor, right.
Gotcha, we're good now.
Okay, Commissioner Paul, what's your feeling?
Opposed.
You're opposed, okay. Commissioner Saragusa?
Opposed.
You oppose it? And Commissioner Lundy?
Opposed.
Okay. Everything is opposed.
Okay, so the motion does not pass. Thank you.
Now you can move on to C3.
Okay.
All right, so new business, item 9C. This is commission discussion of draft regulations regarding cannabis establishments by sections. So, based on our conversation this evening, we are requesting that staff draft regulations to prohibit the use of additional retail establishments. However, we have not made...
Well, what you could do is have me... My suggestion is you make a motion to direct staff to amend the latest draft regulations that you've seen, dated 2/23. You can review it at your next meeting, and then if you're okay with it, we can submit an application and have a hearing. What you're doing is you're directing me to write regulations. Those regulations would include, specific regulations regarding all cannabis establishments except they would plug in at the retail. Your motion would be direct staff to draft, revise the 2/23 draft that's in front of you to prohibit retail, and then we'll work on everything else that's within that regulation.
We already voted on
that. You have 2/23. So there's regulations in front of you and drafted 2/23. So you direct me to revise those.
But when
that entire revision, unless you want me to prohibit them and do two separate applications. So if you want me to do an application to prohibit the retail, why not do it at the same time as you?
Well, wouldn't staff automatically do it? If you do the thing to prohibit retail, you should fix it up for the next meeting anyway.
So then, what do you want
to do? We don't got to direct you to do anything. Just do it.
We still have to discuss the draft regulations regarding cultivators and microcultivators.
So, it's my impression that maybe some more research needs to be done. Look at Colchester's regulations. So at this time, unless somebody else has an additional motion regarding marijuana regulations or cannabis regulations, I say we close out this portion of our discussion and move on. Okay. Is anybody opposed to that? All right, in that case, let's move on to item 9D, which is discussion of 2023 commissioner trading requirements. Liz, what do you have for us?
So this is going to be super quick. So there's good news and bad news. Good news, if you have not gotten your trading in yet, you have 6 months to get it done. Okay. But for that, you gotta get it done. The good news is that once you get it done, they're only gonna require you to get 4 hours every 4 years now.
Okay.
It used to be 4 hours every year.
All right.
But now it's 1 foot. If you haven't gotten it yet, you guys gotta get it, because I have to give a report to the town council in January saying who got it. Now, if a new person came, was appointed to the commission, they would still have another year.
Could you provide us with some resources?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
I think, Meredith, have you said?
Stacy has sent out, resent it.
Yeah.
Meredith sent it once.
There's a visual link on the bottom that if you click, you now don't go and join them, but you can watch at your leisure.
Okay. And module. That was just sent out over the past week.
I sent it out way back when.
Here,
you would sign up like back. You had up until February to sign up.
Okay.
Now they've recorded the modules and you watch them at your leisure. And when you do that, make sure Stacy gets which ones you watch and what would you.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
And you got to spell it out. You sign out. Keep in mind also, you already got an hour and a half from Attorney Willis. So you only need to get 2 hours.
Right.
Make sure you do the one on affordable housing. Very, very important.
Yeah, I think I did that one.
Pull your excuse. You're all set.
And Commissioner Long,
I did that affordable housing thing here, and also did something at Ledger because I attended that conference.
You have to do that affordable housing training.
Another one. Well, I don't know how many affordable housing.
Unless you have something in writing saying that you attended affordable housing thing, Attorney Willis did not address that when he addressed you. So that's one thing you have to do. You have to do 1 hour.
Okay.
That's it for that.
Thank you.
We'll move on to other topics. But we have item E. Special lease line requirements.
Thank you for the reminder.
Do you
want to discuss
this? Yeah, well, I live in a community. I think they may be called lease lines on my property, but as a homeowner, they're my property lines. Now, my understanding from your office is lease lines have no meaning. The people that own the property can do anything they want right up to the lease lines. Now, that don't seem right. It seems like when they develop things, the lease lines provide the offset to the houses, whatever it may be, for the zoning. So that just, I don't understand that.
Yeah, so I can answer that. So, and Attorney Heller, who actually did the Hillcrest development, is also going to ensure he can add some insight if you're not satisfied with my answer. So, Hillcrest is a multifamily housing development.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has their lease lines. That's their lease lines. That's your leased property, okay? And you own your home on it. Building setbacks are only from property lines. They are not from lease lines. Now, if your homeowner's...
Where does it say that in our regulations? Oh, it's in a section of the zoning regulations?
Yeah, it's in the zoning regulations. What a front yard setback is. It's from a property line, not a lease line. That's your lease line. It's the property boundary is the whole thing. And yeah, if you have a lease. Now, I suppose, and you can look into this, your HOA may say there's setbacks from the lease lines, but that's part of your lease, not part of the zoning regulations. Setbacks are only measured from property boundaries. It's like a multifamily, like an apartment building.
So what you're saying, if there's a lease line exists, the property can, homeowner can build to the lease lines, and your neighbor has no say.
There's no zoning authority over that, yes.
Is that true on your development plans? You provided spaces on every house.
Chairman Lindy May, Attorney Heller.
Yes.
Join the discussion.
There is, first of all, Hillcrest, there's no HOA, but your use rights are governed by your lease agreement with the landlord. And your rights and obligations under the lease are separate and distinct from the zoning requirements of the municipality. So Hillcrest is a special permit use under a specific provision of the zoning regulations. I forget what it's called, but
manufactured home park.
And that has specific requirements for that type of community. But the setbacks, as Liz says, are community setbacks from the exterior boundaries of that parcel, because for municipal purposes, that is one parcel of land, and the taxes on the land are paid by the park owner. What rights and responsibilities you have on your leasehold area, and those leasehold lines give you exclusive rights within the limits of those leasehold lines. But unless there are specific setbacks in the lease, then that's beyond the limits of the zoning authority, because the zoning authority permitted the whole park.
Yeah, when you presented these plans, the impression is everything had a side setback. I mean, they were all the properties were laid out to provide a reasonable offset from the lease lines. And now, planning offices is, the lease line, anybody can build right up to the lease lines. It's okay with us.
There are no lease line setbacks on the plans that were approved by the commission.
Well, every house was set at a reasonable distance from the lease line.
Well, those
I mean, that just to look good and then change it later?
Those were conceptual. You know the community. It's not Kansas. It's not all flat out there.
Yeah.
You have ledge, you have slopes.
But I mean, each house was offset from the lease lines at a reasonable distance, at least 10 feet, I believe. If not more.
I don't know what the specific distance is.
Me neither.
You can determine that by scale. But I do know for sure that there are no lease line setbacks on the site plan.
Okay. So.
And I did pull it out and I did look.
What this committee should do on properties that end up with lease lines, we should provide regulations that establish the setbacks so that people can't encroach on their neighbors. So it would require a regulation adjustment to say lease lines are the same as a property line.
Are you making that motion?
Well, I'm discussing it so everybody can think about it. Because we got houses up there that have 20 feet separation. And the windows on the a few of the houses are melting the siding on the houses.
What's melting the siding?
Yeah.
The windows. The reflection of the sun off the windows is melting the siding on the houses. And that's with a 20-foot distance between them. You know, I think there's at least three houses that I know of that it's happened to.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this committee should have plans.
Attorney Haley, are you familiar with the specifics in this case?
Okay.
Not the particular specifics, but Liz just pointed out that in the regulation, there's supposed to be a 30-foot separating distance between buildings. That's a zoning regulation.
Well,
that is
so you can't have anybody.
That has nothing to do with the lease line.
Right.
Well, 30 feet between the buildings. So you can't encroach, it can't be less than 30 feet, which this office has approved. Because they say you can do anything in the lease line, up to the lease line.
The lease line, again, what's within the scope of the land use office is what the regulations provide. The regulations do not provide any setback from a lease line. They do provide a minimum separating distance between buildings. If you built up to your lease line and you're there before the next guy,
Yeah, but he's still got to have 30 feet.
He's got to stay 30 feet.
Well, that would violate what you approved.
Look at these regulations. How's that sound?
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Oh.
So if we could take a really close look at those,
yeah,
and then follow up with Commissioner Siragusa about the specifics, that would be great. Let's move on to item 10, which is zoning matters. The CEO report, please.
What matters around here?
You did a great job. Did you notice they put the thing on the trucks and they pull it up?
I got yelled at hard. I took it on the chin hard, Tony, for you.
It was difficult.
Oh, I believe you guys did a heck of a job.
We got it done. We had a meeting with the mayor as well, so we got it. That's your going away present.
Thank you.
I have one enforcement for wetlands that I'm working on. There's four IWC applications. The Moxie Road Bridge was approved. 69 Pitchill Road, which is also on our PNC agenda, was approved by IWC. The golf course application was approved in the meeting. And the IWC also has the transfer station solar project tabled. And I have four CDA applications at this time.
Okay. Liz, do you have an update for us?
I do.
Can we ask questions?
I'm sorry. Oh, sure. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I just figured you needed a day or 12 to read.
What?
That's my fault. I skipped right over.
What is Monahan Drive? What's a tracking pad?
How do you track with?
When.
What is it?
So, you know, like down here on 163 Pickers Pond, they have the big stone. So
yes.
You come in and out of the construction site.
It's a construction apron. That's what it's for.
175 Route 82, five oil trucks?
Yes.
So,
that's the Williams Oil that we were working on a enforcement action because they were parked where they shouldn't have been.
Right, so is all the if their trucks are full of oil, I assume all the proper containment's there in case the trucks leak.
Yes, we made them have a spill
Thank
prevention
you.
That was, and that was, for the record, prior to me even becoming zoning approval, that site was approved by staff at the time. I researched it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, thanks.
Back then.
As someone who's been here a lot over the last, I don't know how many years, I'd just like to thank Tony on behalf of myself and all the applicants. You show up every meeting, you're prepared, your input is material, and you've been a great benefit to the town.
Thank you,
Aaron. I want to thank you.
You're here.
Absolutely.
What about the 30 feet?
Yeah.
So, when
listen, Attorney Heller and I just discussed we're going to
because if we don't have that, you guys need to change the regulation so there's protection for lease lines.
So if somebody don't belt something too close to you, so your belly don't melt.
Okay, so we got really busy. We have all these million files. One of them is a large solar array, one of them is an industrial development, and the other one is the commercial gas. We're still waiting on revised plans for that. Just to let you know, as far as the EDC goes, I just contracted with a consultant to assist the town in drafting a strategic plan for economic development in the town. We start soon. He's going to be interviewing various groups. He most likely will come here and address the zoning commission and hear your thoughts. His name is Robert Santi. He used to work for CERC, which is now Advanced CP. And the mayor is acquainted with him, and he worked for the Economic Development Office in Connecticut for some time. So I contracted with him, and we need to get a start. The other thing is, I've contracted with the Southeastern Connecticut Council of Governments to help us draft new sign regulations, because sign regulations are tough. So they're all across different towns in the region. They have all of them in front of them. They are going to draft new sign regulations for us. We've had a very, very difficult time with sign regulation because some of the regulations are sort of big. You know, and we're being challenged, and we want to have regulations that are clear and concise, and that can't be challenged. So we have a difficult time. We also want to be able to balance the needs of the business owners with what the town looks like. We don't want the interior to look like Coleman Street, right? But we want to be able to allow the business owner to advertise. So that's one thing I've asked them, specifically tasked them to look at, like, a balance. Okay. I'm working on the budget year end. It's always fun. I've rewritten all the staff descriptions. Just to let you know, Stacy Radford is our new administrative assistant. She started in April, but the meeting was canceled. Stacy's here.
Hi, Stacy.
Thank you.
Welcome.
So she's here. Meredith Aluka has been promoted to assistant planner after retirement.
Who retired? Colleen?
Colleen retired. Did I tell you she
was? No.
Oh, thank you. Oh, my goodness. Our meeting got canceled.
Right.
Colleen retired back. She left on March 17th and retired the end of May.
So you knew Colleen.
She took some time off before that. We have an opening for a zoning enforcement officer. Before we fill that, I have to rewrite it so that it complies with the new regulations regarding certification. So, plus I added a few little clarifying things in there. So, I've done my part, and it now goes to human resources. She wants to rewrite some other things that she would like to change in all of the town's job descriptions. And then it'll go to TARP, and then it'll go to the administration committee, and then it'll go to the council for approval, and then we can post it.
Right.
That's where we are. But in the meantime, I had to rewrite ours. Mine and Meredith's, because it still says planning director, planning department, and since the council changed the name to land use and development last October, this hasn't been done yet. So very other simple changes, but the zoning officer one was a big sort of a big rewrite. Dakota Partners, the project's getting started. They have new zoning permits, they submitted building permits. The Brownfields grant, we're right there at the end. They're closing on the property. They're going to start construction down there. What I didn't know and have since learned is that they've been working on those apartments on the interior of them all this time, and they're quite nice. If anybody would like to get a tour and see where they are with it, let me know.
That's the Uncasville...
Factory.
What?
Bria Factory.
Yeah, the old Uncasville Mills.
Yeah. Some of the apartments are beautiful. Beautiful. And they've done a beautiful job. It's being restored in accordance with the historians have, because there's historic tax credits involved, so the Department of the Interior, the historians are involved. But it's really, really cool. I had no idea they've been doing all this work on these apartments.
Will a certain percentage be for, you call it, affordable housing?
There will be 57 affordable housing units in there.
Okay, out of how many units?
Out of 72.
That will be a nice boon for the town of Montville. The other thing is we have gotten the final revised, we're on the last final revised PSA for the fishing fair. We're hoping now.
PSA meaning?
PSA, I'm sorry, personal services agreement from Deep Fisheries for the grant to build the fishing pier. So it's been back, at first it went through everybody's lawyers and it went back to, there's a lot of lawyers involved that made a lot of changes. We're on the very last one now. And I'm hoping once that gets done, we can start the testing, we can start the RFPs, and we can make a plan to get the construction started. We'll do the boat launch at the same time.
None of them have a fishing hook.
What?
None of the people involved have a fishing hook.
Oh, yes, they do. Deep Fisheries does.
Yeah, but the lawyers don't.
Oh, no. The lawyers don't. Well, maybe they do. I don't know. All I know is that Deep Fisheries, this is federal money that is funneled through the state of Connecticut Department of Fisheries, Deep Fisheries, and give it to the town. So we don't really, this isn't really our grant.
When do you think? July, August, September?
As long as it gets done, that's all I
think. I don't know. I'm hoping really soon. We've closed out the state grant for the community center work for funding we got from them. I'm working on researching the Raven Hill Church, trying to get a grant to do a needs assessment for that church. The last one we had them was, I think, 2009. So we're trying to get a new needs assessment. Been working on a lot of development inquiries and meetings. We have litigation matters. There is a good possibility that you will have an executive session at your next meeting. There is, if you recall, back in, I think it's 2021, the end, Richard George, being represented by John Chase, filed an appeal of your decision regarding a text amendment. We also appealed the decision. Attorney Heller's client is also one of the defendants, and there is some negotiation being worked on right now. I don't know what it is right now. I haven't been made privy yet. However, the final decision will lay with, as far as what the town wants to do. That would be in an executive session. So,
cluster of development.
You know, I'm working on the Lodeset project. I'm working on the animal shelter project. We have a lot going on. We're busy.
You do.
Yeah, so that's it. Mr.
Sarah
Gerson, I don't know who I'm going to have lively discussions with
anymore
after you're gone.
Well, I may be in the audience.
He might be part of the peanut gallery.
Thank you. You've been one of my favorite commissioners who's been here for so long. You were here when I was zoning official.
A bit before that.
17 years.
I didn't know.
2006.
We researched.
You did some research on it.
Yeah, I started in 2007.
So thank you. That's a lot of service.
And on behalf of the rest of the commission, thank you very much for your service.
I appreciate everybody. The different opinions make it interesting. And, you know, Harry's presentation on the manufacturing and the facilities and how much money it could mean that a town changed my vote. So when you hear stuff like that, it's easy to change your mind.
So when you leave, I'll be seeing you.
Yep.
But
let's not forget the other half.
Well, we wanted to celebrate your retirement from the commission, so we have some refreshments. Oh,
thank you.
We have a lovely plant for Robin, who can get you. Oh.
She kills plants.
So thank you, Mrs. Sarah. So please, once you're adjourned, everybody go back for a
cupcake. So is this your last meeting?
Yes.
I'm the one who tried to get all the things passed in 1 minute.
All right.
Well, you might.
Any other business? We have no correspondence and no executive session. So at this time, I'd like to adjourn the meeting.
I move.
Okay, second.
You want to adjourn?
Absolutely.
I'll second the absolutely.
Meeting's adjourned. Thank you.
All right, everybody.
Yeah, I think I'll leave my regulations here. So,
Thank you.
I'll end up in a pile of crap.
Cheers.